You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
The National Debt Counselling Association says it wants to raise the bar for debt counsellors, introducing what it terms fit and proper standards, as well as new oversight rules to protect consumers and clean up the industry. Now, we know we have a huge debt problem in this country, so raising this red flag, I imagine, raises some concern as far as broad protocols go. I want to talk about this in a little more detail with Rene Munsami, who's chairperson of the association. Rene, a very warm welcome to you. This is worrying. What has prompted the crackdown? How bad is the problem of rogue counselors?
Thanks, Jeremy, for having me. And yeah, you know, there was a time that the credit industry was also not as regulated as it is today. And lending was an extremely profitable business. And because of the lack of proper legislation, especially around things like interest rates at the time, a lot of consumers were exploited and had, well, no protection. And back in 2002, the DCI set up a credit review committee to review the policies and legislation that we had. And out of that initiative, we got the National Credit Act. We're seeing the exact same pattern now in debt counseling. And unprotected consumers are being exploited and they're being put into further financial distress. So our members have submitted this proposal to DCIC. We want to raise the bar for professionalism in the industry because we believe that the time is now and the review is necessary. And we want to ensure that only qualified ethical counselors are allowed to practice and that the industry has the same standards expected in the broader financial services sector.
Rene, when you talk about exploitation, how exactly is that manifesting?
Well, you'll see a lot of rogue ads, social media, YouTube. You might see flyers up promising clients things like clearing their credit bureau history, clearing their ITC statuses, removing a blacklisting flag on their credit reports, all of which is an impossibility, and it is conning consumers out of the debt counseling process, which is a legitimate legal way in which a consumer can reduce their monthly installments, renegotiate things like their interest rates and the terms on the finances, and luring them out of that to pay these rogue debt counselors or entities large sums of money to quote unquote exit them from a debt review process. But that exit is not a possibility. That's not the way a consumer should go through the natural cycle of debt counseling and come out on the other end being financially viable.
It's really upsetting and a sign, I guess, of desperation as far as debt in this country is concerned, which we all know in many respects is out of control.
Definitely. We're seeing more and more consumers falling for those scams as we head toward the festive period. A lot of consumers are cash strapped, and that's the truth. And the idea of clearing your ITC report is attractive for someone who's trying to access further finance. You know, if you don't have a good credit bureau scoring or listings, then you're not going to be qualified for good debt from a good lender, a bank or a reputable firm that will offer you reasonable rates and reasonable terms of repayment.
So these new fit and proper standards that you want to introduce, what would they entail? And how do they change the paradigm in terms of who can practice and who can't?
Well, it will mean that becoming a debt counselor, you will need stronger qualifications. You'll need practical training under supervision and ongoing assessments of competence. It will also mean that debt counselors must run proper, governed, financially stable practices. They'll have to be skilled, ethical, operational. And in the same way that you would expect of other professionals in the financial sector, it needs to be ethically and professionally sound, not just a license given to a debt counselor on paper.
How soon could these proposals actually be adopted into law?
Well, we've already shared the proposal with the DTIC. We've shared with the National Credit Regulator and other industry stakeholders. The next step for us is going to be collaborative engagement and regulatory drafting, which is not a short process. But we're hopeful because the elements of that proposal that we have included, we're hoping it shows up in the amendments to the National Credit Act that is already in discussions now. You know, as always, legislation can't be done overnight, but momentum is strong, I believe, from all the industry stakeholders. And I think the entire industry is ready for a higher standard. The members in our own association have already adopted a lot of what we have proposed to the DTIC, and we're hoping our stance, together with the rest of the industry players, lifts everyone up and we push it forward as quickly as we can.
Rene, no one's doubting your good intentions, but even if you have the law in place, surely it's going to be very difficult to police and regulate.
Absolutely. Like in any industry, you're always going to have unscrupulous players that try to use or bend the law to suit their own agendas. But as an industry, we need to focus on consumer education. That's why conversations like this are so important. We need to bring the topic up to everyone's ear to allow the consumer to make the best possible choice for themselves. You know, when you're seeking out an attorney or an accountant or a financial advisor, you're going to want to look for someone who is legitimate and well-established. And I think the same is going to be applicable for consumers when they do seek out, if they ever need it, debt counseling. And we need to give them the education and the option to do so and to choose someone that is ethical.
Your intention is to improve trust, but the obvious question is, will tougher rules raise the cost of debt counseling?
It may do so. There are already conversations in play with industry stakeholders on how we structure the debt counseling fee system to suit both the consumer, the debt counselor, the credit provider, and any other players involved. Ultimately, debt counseling is always going to be tailored to suit the consumer's specific financial situation. And I believe that tighter regulation will actually improve the ability for consumer to access debt review rather than make the barriers higher for the consumer, which is not what anyone in the debt review industry would want.
While the process of change or recalibration is happening, what then would be your message to consumers who are unsure right now where to turn to for legitimate help?
That's a great question. I think I'm going to go back to my statement about when you're seeking out professional advice. When you're looking for an insurance representative, a financial advisor, you wouldn't go to someone who doesn't have a long established reputation, someone who does not appear to be legitimate. I would say if it's too good to be true, the offer that you are being proposed, it usually is. And I would suggest that consumers seek out information about debt review, not just the fuff that we see on online, on social media and other platforms when you first search for it. But, you know, if you're really invested in seeking out an attorney, you're going to do the work to look for one that you believe will have the best interests of the consumer at heart. I suggest we do the same. Members of associations are a great call and first point of call for us, because we will hold each other to a higher standard of professionalism, which is really important. So my advice is, don't be afraid. If you need advice, seek the advice of a registered debt counsellor, especially one that is a part of an association.
Thank you very much indeed, Rene Monsamy, chairperson of the National Debt Counselling Association. I appreciate your time.